The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Reached the final hour, and we're glad that you decided to come along. Let's get back to the calls, and Matthew is in Houston. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great.
My question is about Texas A&M. Assuming A&M wins out, which in recent years is a big if.
Right.
But assuming that happens, what's their path to the playoffs? What needs to happen to Ohio State? How bad does Clemson need to beat Notre Dame if they do? Or what other scenarios?
Yeah, let me give you their best path. That would be a combination of Alabama and Notre Dame winning. That would be ideal for them. If that doesn't happen, if Clemson wins, then I think you need some help from Ohio State. And what I mean by that is Ohio State simply not being able to get enough games in. But if we go according to chalk, let's say Alabama wins, Clemson wins in a close game, then I think it's going to be Alabama 1, then probably Clemson 2. And you may very well see even Notre Dame 3 and Ohio State 4. I think Texas A&M, first of all, needs to be impressive. I think Saturday is critical. That's a big game. It's a road game against Auburn. You can't slop around like last week against LSU.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a little bit of a double standard. Notre Dame, you know, beats Louisville by.
I get it, but you know what? It's what you do now that will matter. The Louisville game was a long time ago, and I'm not making excuses for Notre Dame, but it was COVID related as well. They were just coming off of a break.
Right. Understood. It seems like every year the top four teams aren't the final four teams, but it seems like this year there's a little bit of a brick wall to get through for A&M.
Hey, thank you very much. But I think there's one other possibility. I didn't mention it. Cincinnati. Cincinnati was hurt badly by not playing this weekend. They need opportunities, but it's toward the end when the minds are going to be made. Sean is in College Station. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Hey, thank you. Good evening.
I would like your opinion on something. In your opinion, do you think it would be better for Texas A&M as a program to make it to the playoffs and lose the semifinal game or to not make it and win their bowl game?
I think right now, Sean, it's very much like it is in basketball. If you don't get to the tournament, you're a nobody. And sadly, in college football these days, the playoff is how you are identified. Let's say A&M goes to the Cotton Bowl and beats I don't know who. It's a great season, but the one thing that will be missing is the CFP. When you get in the CFP, it matters. It matters a great deal, especially in the SEC and especially for a coach like Jimbo Fisher, who's already been, he played for a BCS. He was in the first CFP. That's how you market and sell your program, I think.
Excellent. I certainly appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
And by the way, I mean, it's not like there's any downside to losing. I don't think the expectations for A&M would be that high. But there's one other thing. You don't get a choice. You either go to the CFP or you don't. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Rio is in Georgia, and you are on the air. Hey, Rio.
Hi, Ms. Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to call and talk to you about two quick things right quick. This is my first time calling because I have to be in. I'll be recording your show and everything.
Well, great.
But one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. Feinbaum, was a rule. Why is it a rule that you can return a kickoff return fumble, but you can't return a punt fumble?
I am going to tell you, I don't know the answer to that, but I will rely heavily on someone who does. How about that?
Yeah. Okay, that's cool, because, you know, a fumble
good question,
is a fumble.
Though.
Then another thing I wanted to say was, hey, speaking of Derrick Mason, everybody wants down Derrick Mason, hey, he will make a great defensive coordinator at the University of Florida, because Todd Grantham is not getting it done.
Well, I will. I'll make sure that Coach Shermullin gets that memo.
Okay, man. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, and thank you for taking my call. I love you, man.
Thank you, and you take care of yourself, Rio. Great to have you on. I appreciate it very much. Sean, we're in Texas.
Right.
You got it. Sean is up next in Texas. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, sir?
We are well.
Good. Okay, so just got a quick comment on the last caller, Sean, from College Station. When he asked about the Louisville Notre Dame game, and
right.
You made the comment that was a while ago first, and you said it was COVID related, that they were coming off a break. Obviously, you do understand that A&M came off a two week break from COVID.
Right. Well,
so okay.
That's a fair point. I was just simply thinking about Notre Dame being sloppy, not what Notre Dame's done since then. But I will argue that the only reason the LSU game mattered this week, it was the last game, but it won't matter anymore. And I think the Auburn game is an even better opportunity, because Auburn is more highly regarded this year than LSU, and it's also on the road. But your point is 100% correct. Thank you. Dwayne is in Destin, and you are next up. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne.
I appreciate it, Paul. First-time caller, and I've listened to your show on SEC Network, and I appreciate the work you do. I think you're a very intelligent man as far as it goes with everything to do with SEC football. But I've got two questions for you. First one is, do you think Ohio State can play with Alabama?
I'm not sure right now anyone can play with Alabama.
Okay. All right. My second question is, what about Notre Dame and Clemson? One of those has got to go some way, somehow out of it. So what do you see if Clemson beats Notre Dame, or if Notre Dame beats Clemson?
Well, here's the easy thing to understand, Dwayne. If Notre Dame beats Clemson, Clemson's gone. They're out of the playoffs. If Clemson beats Notre Dame, then it's a matter of interpretation. And, you know, the conventional wisdom today is that Notre Dame would still get in as long as they are competitive in that game. And hard to imagine them not being. But if Clemson, you know, beats them 45-0, it could be a big factor. So, you know, right now there are very few schools remaining in the playoffs. I mean, we know who they are. They're Alabama. They're Notre Dame, they're Clemson, Ohio State, Florida, and Texas A&M. I really don't see how Cincinnati can get in. And that's really it. So the combinations are not that complicated.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Notre Dame can play with Alabama head-to-head?
Maybe. Notre Dame is a really complete team. I'm incredibly impressed with them so far. I mean, their defense has been really stifling, and they've shown, you know, signs of life on offense as well. But, yeah, I want to see what Alabama does with Florida first, because, you know, that is a really tough test. I mean, they're facing an explosive team, and their defense, which has been resurrected in the second half of the season, will be tested more in that game than any game since the Ole Miss game. And Florida is a much better team than Ole Miss. We are heading to a break. Still plenty of time for you to get in at 855-242-7285. We hope you'll stick around.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And Jake is up next as we continue here. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Paul. Hey, a couple things real quick. First of all, Southern Miss hit a home run with this Will Hall hire. Paul, within the coaching circles, he's been known. He's bright young mind, but I'm a little biased. I've worked with him before, but I'm just telling you, Coach, I think they've hit a home run with him. I think he'll be able to get some things turned around down there.
Yeah, he came from Tulane. Jake, I've heard great things about him, and you know him better than I do, but he has a tremendous reputation.
Sure. He's bright and young, and I think he'll do a good job. Hey, Paul, we're 8 years into a rebuild job, and I don't get it at Auburn. How come, Paul, every year it seems like we're rebuilding? We're at Auburn, Paul, and think about it. If Bo Nix goes down, we do not have a backup quarterback. You know, I've tried giving Gus all the rope, you know, but he seems to take all. He's taking more and more to hang himself. I don't know what's going on, Paul. It's just you talk to people. What's the sentiment? It just seems like it's a constant rebuild. It's like, you know, there's never the consistency. I know drives us crazy because, you know, in 17 when they beat Georgia and Alabama back to back, and they're both number one. You know, Alabama and Georgia had all these first-rounders. Auburn had none. Well, how'd they beat them? Well, they beat them in coaching. But what is that against the South Carolina? What is that against, you know, Arkansas? The inconsistency is just baffling. And I'm going to have to throw in the towel, man. I hate to do that, but it's just
– Let me ask you this, Jay, because you understand college, you understand football and coaching. Where does he go from here, I think, is the question you have to ask. If you're trying to evaluate, I don't think it's cut and dried. I mean, you hear a lot of things, and I hear a lot of things. And, I mean, there's certainly some people that don't want him there. But, yeah, I think this is an important game for him against A&M because it's an opportunity to wash away some of the absolute bitter taste from last week. But if you see something along those lines, I think he's going to have there's going to be some howling down there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big game, but it's every year we're at this point.
Yeah,
unless they make a run and they just have that dominant team and they had that run in 13 and 10, and unless they just have that, every ingredient's got to be perfect for him to seem like for him to just to win 10 games where other coaches, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I've been giving.
But Jake, let me act like I'm representing Gus Malzahn for a second here. And I hear it. I understand it. But, you know, the program overall is close to elite. It's maybe not in the same category as others, but this is a consistently good program. It may not be great, but you know his record against Alabama is better than anyone else's. But unfortunately, that's where it ends. and you know
that's the golden ticket, ain't it, Paul?
Yeah, Georgia and LSU have not been until the LSU game this year went his way, but that has not been a good game for him. And Georgia has really been a problem.
Well, I don't know how you fix it. I mean, he's done some good things. He's not a bad coach.
No.
It's just the inconsistent It's baffling just to see how inconsistent.
Hey, do you think it? I mean, outside of Malzahn, I mean, I think Kevin Steele is as good a defensive coordinator as you can have. It's obvious that the problems are on offense, and what's your view of the Chad Morris hire? Now that we've seen him coach for the majority of the season.
Here we go. COVID. Didn't have a spring. Didn't have summer. I'll go ahead and tell you, I saw some things out of Bo Nix this year that's pointing as far as him chirping back at coaches and, just some stubbornness on his side or probably immaturity. But, the Chad Morris hire coach, Paul, that's yet to be – really, I think yet to be seen. There's glimpses of some stuff, but it just seems like it always goes back to, unless they have a hot game like they did last year against Alabama, but – Georgia annihilated them. Alabama annihilated them. I mean, they seem simplistic on offense.
Jake, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Squirrel is up next. Always good to hear from you, Jake. Squirrel, you're on the air.
Two things, Paul, and I really appreciate you taking my call, and I'll try to be quick with the first one. But 45 years ago tonight would be 1975. I was a junior in high school, and it was the night before we played Nashville Maplewood for the state championship in Murfreesboro. And with that in mind, I want to wish my Oak Ridge Wildcats good luck tomorrow night when they play for the state championship.
Oh, wow.
In Cookeville. They've got a state championship tradition, so they need to bring another one home, and I hope they do. But and then the second thing I want to talk to you about, is, I've kind of been laying in the weeds since I had a hand in running your number one caller off. I don't know if you're upset with me or not. I think you are.
Squirrel, I can assure you that I am. I am not.
Okay. Well, I didn't say I ran him off. I just said I had a part in it. You had the major part in it. Let's put it that way. But you met my oldest son back when he was maybe 9 or 10. There was a flag football league here in Madison, and I was a coach. And they assigned you players, and one year we had a young lady that wanted to play flag football, and she was assigned to my team. And the first thing you do, the first 3 or 4 practices, you find out who your players are and who your quarterback is. And the first game of the season and the rest of the year, this young lady was my quarterback. And she went on to go to Auburn University and graduate. She now works in the office of the Miami Dolphins. Beautiful young lady, really sweet. Her and her father and I are still good friends. So I'm all for women in sports. But you have said on numerous occasions that your callers are knowledgeable callers. Do you recall saying that?
Oh, sure.
Or your listeners are knowledgeable football. So when you say last hour that Vanderbilt ran out of kickers, I mean, that's kind of an insult to people that, have a basic understanding of college football, because Vanderbilt, I mean, even though they are the kind of the scrub of the conference, I mean, they're SEC athletes, and I don't know how many players. I happened to be watching the game, ironically, Saturday. I don't know how many athletes they had on that sideline, but I would think 3/4 of them had the ability to kick a football 25 or 30 yards. So to say they ran out of kickers, I mean, that kind of, again, if they wanted to have a feel-good moment or made-for-TV moment, that's fine, but it insults the intelligence of people who know basics of football to say you run out of kickers, because that's kind of hard to do. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, Squirrel, I am going to study that comment, and as we say in Washington, I'm going to get back to you on that. We're up against a break. Thank you for the call. Man, I'll see if I can find the rest of my head. Seth Golden coming up in a minute on Tom Herman's future.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome you back. Great to have all of you here for the final 30 minutes on Thursday night. And we've been talking quite a bit about a story that we're watching from afar, and that is what is going on with the University of Texas and Tom Herman. It seemed like just yesterday he was the hottest coach in the country, and Texas was back. Well, not anymore. Nobody better to talk to about that than my friend Cedric Golden, who covers the University of Texas. Well, he covers a lot of things at the Austin American Statesman, but that is one of them. And Cedric, welcome back. Great to talk to you, and I hope you're well.
How's it going, brother? Man, so good to hear from you.
Yeah, I would imagine these are tough times. I mean, I know it's tough times for, overall, but I mean, what in the world is happening at UT?
Man, that's the million-dollar question. I'm not going to feel sorry for him because I work at a newspaper. I know what tough times are about, Paul. But let me tell you, man, Tom Herman, 30-18 with two games remaining in his fourth season. And when Sam Ellinger told millions and millions of people after they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl 2 years ago that we're back, a lot of people believed it. And they believed it, the voters believed it. They put him number nine in the final poll after that season. And they're only the second team in 29 years to be number nine with four losses. So I thought that it was a great moment in New Orleans, but it turned out not to be true. They're 13-9 since Sam said that. And it's not because of a lack of talent or a lack of recruiting classes. Three straight top 10 recruiting classes and a senior quarterback and talent on both sides of the ball. And let's just keep it real, Paul. I know that's what you do on this show. Tom Herman didn't get it done, and he hasn't up to this point.
Does he have any support remaining, I mean, outside of his immediate family and kids?
I know Zach Smith doesn't support him. Chris Del Conte has kept his cards close to his vest, and I know he's playing the quiet game, and who can blame him? There are not a whole lot of people coming out going, hey, we got to keep this guy. Everybody has the Urban Meyer goggles now, and it reminds me of when Mack Brown was near the end, and we were at the football banquet, and it was already apparent that it was the end for Mack, and he was fighting to keep his job, and he was telling uncomfortable jokes at the banquet, and we just knew he was trying to fill dead air. And the whole time we were looking at our phones because the Nick Saban chatter was running rampant in Austin, and right as I'm biting into my tenderloin, it comes across that Nick Saban had signed an extension. And a lot of us thought that it was a stay of execution for Mac, but he still didn't survive it.
So if he goes, which certainly there's a lot of sentiment, everyone thinks the hot name is going to be Urban Meyer. How realistic is that?
That's a really good question. We had Tim May on our podcast, our own Second Thought podcast on Hook'em.com today. And I just don't know if Urban medically is ready to come back. And, of course, we remember Urban was asked about Jerry Jones. If the Cowboys called, he goes, there's certain phone calls you take. If the phone rings and it's Jerry, you answer that call. Well, I think if the phone rings and it's Chris Del Conte, you answer that call. So I'm sure that Urban Meyer is intrigued. Why? How could he not be? First of all, he'd probably be making more money than Saban and Dabo if he came aboard, because Texas would have to pay him. And secondly, how many coaches have led three traditional football powerhouses to national championships in one career? It could be history making, but I just don't know how realistic it is. If I'm Del Conte, I'm not just looking at Urban. I'm looking at a lot of other names on a list if Tom is indeed out of there.
So let's put a pause on him, because I think you're right. You know, even Bruce Feldman told us the other day, said he works with Urban, that he had some doubts whether he could come back, as tempting as Texas would be. There really isn't anyone after Urban Meyer of the Nick Saban, Urban Meyer stature. So where would they go to find someone that would, by the way, suit the Texas people?
You know, and it's so, you're so right about that, because you're talking, that's a, those are Rushmore names, Saban and Dabo and Urban. Those are Rushmore type names. When I compile a little list of guys that I think would be ideal, the first name that popped into my mind is James Franklin of Penn State. I know he's had his problems up in State College, but Paul, you cover the SEC your whole life. If that dude can win in Vanderbilt, he can win anywhere. I mean, that was the eye opener for me. And so things have gone south for him up there. That might be the best chance for him to, for them to get some, get in on him. Maybe he's looking for a change of scenery. I don't know, but that's the name that pops into my mind. Luke Fickell has done a great job at Cincinnati. Not a huge name, but he's a young guy. He's full of energy, and his offenses have been among the best every season. A good recruiter, but he's a Midwest guy, so he doesn't really know these Southern streets. The second guy that I like, I don't think Fickell would be ideal, but he's a name that's out there. Matt Campbell of Iowa State has done more with less and has won. He's beaten Oklahoma more than once in his stay in Ames. He's beaten Texas. He is leading the Big 12 right now. He's recruited in the South and in the Midwest. He's a guy, and he's young. He's getting some NFL notice. There are NFL teams that are undoubtedly looking at him, thinking he might be the next Matt Rhule, who Carolina got from Baylor. So if I was doing the hiring, the two names are James Franklin and Matt Campbell. Those are my two guys.
Yeah, I will tell you, I mean, I agree on Matt Campbell. I mean, there's some who have wondered whether, you know, the good old boy would fit in Austin. But I think at this point, said winning is more important than, you know, what type of wine you drink. But my question about James Franklin, I mean, he's a big name. And outside of this year, there have been some, you know, quirky moves by him. But you know, he's been to the Rose Bowl. He's pretty much done all you need to do. Hey, by the way, Will Muschamp's available. I know he was once the coach in waiting.
Will Muschamp's available. Charlie Strong's available. I'm available. I would come a lot cheaper than Muschamp. I'm interested to know, will Muschamp get another major gig after being bad at two schools? Will he continue to get jobs? Because I know that most coaches, Once you screw it up once, you might not hear from them again. So, I mean, where's Sly Croom? I mean, guys like that. So, will Muschamp get another gig? You're an SEC guy. You tell me.
I can answer that question very easily. No. and you know, major. I mean, yeah, he could get hired at a second tier, but no one is going to take another shot at him from a significantly high level. In college football, I'd have to research it, said, but you know, losing two SEC jobs, that's hard to do.
Yeah, it is. And you brought back great memory, coach in waiting. I mean, I know there's some people in South Carolina that are still waiting on him to coach, but I guess it's too late for that.
Before you go, I want to talk to you about the broad college football season. I was thrilled to be a guest on you and Kirk's outstanding podcast, looking ahead to the season right as it was about to unfold. I mean, we are sitting here on December 3rd. I can't believe we've made it this far. However, there are still some questions about how we're going to navigate these next 5 weeks, including the playoffs. What are your thoughts?
I wonder if they need to take a week off, you know, and just and take a breath. Everybody take off 1 week, move it back a week.
A lot of teams are, a lot of folks are taking off this week.
Not by choice. Yeah, because it just seems like these kids are dropping like flies, and now staffers and it goes all the way up to the NFL. You got guys showing up without masks. They know they're not going to die, and that's a problem. That's a real problem. They know they're not going to die, so why should we care? I'll be sick for 2 weeks. I'll be back playing football. So I think I'm amazed that it's gotten this far and that it hadn't been more outbreaks. So I guess kudos to those people that did their due diligence to keep people safe, to stay on the right regimen. Because speaking as a guy from Austin, Texas,
I don't know what happened there. We were talking to Sed, and all of a sudden he disappeared. We'll hold here for a second. We'd like to get see if we can finish this conversation. But Cedric Golden was with us from the Austin American Statesman, and we'll give it a second here. And if we can't get him back, we'll just take a break. But we have the ability to do what we want. We'll just keep vamping. That's what talk show hosts do when things don't go well. It doesn't look. Okay. By the way, Pete Thamel was with us earlier, as well as Nicole Arabak, and all eyes are on the Big Ten. Just came out a minute ago that Michigan has reported that they had 12 positive COVID tests. I don't know the math on how that contact traces, but that could be a problem for them next week. Okay, Sid, glad you're back with us. We were just asking you about the next couple of weeks in college football.
Yeah. Like I said, it'd be cool if they took a week off and took a breath. But I give kudos to those teams that just haven't had as many tests. Texas, I know, hasn't had that many. And if everyone could have gotten on the same page and just followed the right protocols at the beginning of the season, it probably would be even better shape. But you count me as one as being pleasantly surprised that it got this far with teams playing this many games.
Exactly. My final question concerns the evaluation of the playoff. And I know you talked to Tim May, and Ohio State fans are besides themselves right now. But, you know, what do you think should be the final arbiter of who gets in or not?
I know, man. Leaving it up to human beings is always tough. But it's better than those BCS computers that we live through. It's such a judgment call, especially if Ohio State plays only, five or six games. And as long as they're unbeaten and Justin Fields the quarterback, I don't have a problem with them being in there because I know that they're a top four team. I know that Clemson is top four, Alabama, Notre Dame, I guess. But if I'm someone like Texas A&M and I've beaten everybody in front of me, I wonder if they would have beef. It's just the one thing that you got to take into consideration, Paul, and this with a lot of things of this year. It's 2020, and 2020 sucks. And there's going to have to be some wiggle room. There's going to have to be some give and take, and some people are going to get their feelings hurt. And that's just part of the game. 2020 has hurt a lot of people's feelings. So if someone's left out in the cold and it has to settle for a New Year's Six, let's just be thankful that you're able to play in a New Year's Six. Because, Paul, one of the last times we talked, neither one of us thought that there would be a great chance that they would get to this point where they are now. So that's kind of a blessing if you think about it.
No, I agree with you. Well, let me say this to you. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Cedric. You be well, and we will talk again very soon. All the best.
All right. Be well, bro. Thanks.
You got it. What a great conversation. One of my favorite people out there. Let's take a quick break. We have a couple of minutes remaining, and we will get to your phone calls right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.